Well, if you love WPR and the Green Bay Packers, you're not going to want to miss a special event I'm hosting at Lambeau Field coming up on June 22nd. So it's only a few days away. It will be in Green Bay. Spend the evening exploring Packers history with team president Mark Murphy and historian Cliff Crystal, followed by a tailgate-style reception. It's a family-friendly centennial event in Green Bay this month, and you can still get tickets at our centennial website at WPR.org/100. WPR and the Packers. Doesn't get much more Wisconsin than that, does it? So I'm really looking forward to getting up there on Thursday. And I'm looking forward to talking with our next guest, the Ice Age Trail we're going to be talking about, and one person's march along it. It's 1,100 miles, and our guest hiked the entire thing in just 36 days. And our guest, Melanie Radzicki McManus, is the author of the new book, Thousand Miler, Adventures Hiking the Ice Age Trail. We'll talk about the trail and its history, as well as what it's like to hike and bushwhack and occasionally limp your way across Wisconsin. You may have some questions about hiking that trail, about the trail itself. Maybe you've had some experiences yourself on the Ice Age Trail. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or post your question on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Maybe you've got some photos from your visits on the Ice Age Trail. Post it up there. We'd love to see those photos. And Melanie Radzicki McManus, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I tell you what, you talk about this in the book, about the number of people who had never heard of the Ice Age Trail while you were hiking it. So maybe we should just start with, what is the Ice Age Trail?
Well, the Ice Age Trail is one of 11 national scenic trails. It runs about 1,100 miles throughout the state of Wisconsin, and it traces the edge of the last glacier's terminal moraine, or the last spot where the glacier stood before it receded back, roughly. There are some spots where it's not exactly there. But that's the main idea, is to showcase some of Wisconsin's glacial remains, which are considered some of the finest in the world.
And it's how does it differ from, the national scenic trails?
Well, it is a national...
I should have said other national scenic trails,
okay. Well, there, as I said, it's one of 11. Most people have heard of the Appalachian Trail and probably the Pacific Crest Trail. Those were the first two long-distance trails that were designated national scenic trails in 1968. Congress has to designate national scenic trails, so it's actually a very prestigious thing. Some of the other trails, or a lot of them, go across mountaintops, but we are unique in that we're showcasing glacial remains.
It was interesting, and speaking of political people, Henry Royce had a big lot to do with establishing the trail, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. It was actually the vision, though, of a Milwaukee lawyer named Ray Zillmer.
Yeah.
He was very instrumental in starting the trails in Kettle Moraine, and he followed with interest the development of the Appalachian Trail. And in the 1950s, he actually envisioned a park in Wisconsin that traced the edge of the glacier. And the National Park Service said, that's silly, it would be so difficult to administer a park that's like a ribbon rolling around the state. You know, the national parks are mostly a square chunk of land somewhere.
Sure.
And so over time, that morphed into the idea of a trail, and that's what we're working on today. It's about two-thirds completed and about a third to go.
Yeah, it's a fabulous thing. And when did you decide, maybe talk about when you decided to hike it and what inspired you to be a record setter?
Well, like many people, I did not know what the Ice Age Trail was until very recently, even though a running friend of mine, Jason Dorgan, who's also from this area, had set the overall through hike record in 2007. I didn't really know what he was doing at the time. I had kids at home. I was preoccupied. But we were on a group run together in 2012, and he was talking about his through hike again. And I said, now, what was that exactly you were doing, and what is the Ice Age Trail? So he was explaining it to me then, and I just became fascinated to know that we had this long-distance trail in our state, and I had never heard of it. So I went right home. I researched it online, the Ice Age Trail Alliance, which is a group that administers and builds the trail. They have a fabulous website, and I learned that night that only about 20-some people had ever through-hiked the entire trail, and of those 20-some, only three were women. So being a competitive runner and an older one who was long past the days of setting personal records, I looked at the three women's times, and they, of course, were not trying to set any records. And I thought, well, I could hike this trail and do some running in there, and I could set a women's record, which would be kind of fun, number one. But number two, it would be kind of fun because I'm older. So to say I have this record when I'm an older person would be fun, too. So that was when everything kind of started, was the end of 2012. So I set my hike for 2013, and being a writer, I got some story assignments on it. And, yeah, then I planned it and was off.
Yeah, it's and you actually traversed Spain has a 600-mile trail before setting out on the Ice Age Trail. Did that really influence your fondness for hiking closer to home?
Yes, it did. You know, kind of like the Ice Age Trail, when I first heard of this Camino de Santiago in 2009, I did not know what it was. Most Europeans know it. It's been around for since the Middle Ages. And Americans were just starting to discover it then. So I had been there, and because I'm a freelance writer and I do a lot of travel writing, I had created a guidebook in English for one of the routes to Santiago. And so I had gone back and forth to Spain a couple times and thought, you know, this just really enjoyed hiking and running along that trail. And then when I learned, oh, my gosh, there's an even longer trail, twice as long, and it's in my own backyard, so I don't have to go overseas, I couldn't wait to explore it.
And, you know, in your book, you talk a bit about your great-grandfather in the book, and I wondered how your decision to hike was affected by your, I don't know, your ancestral connection, I guess, to the state.
That was a very interesting experience for me, because my hike was not at all influenced by the fact that I had great-grandparents that settled in Phillips, which is just north of part of the trail. But what was very moving to me was once I got to that part of the trail, I just felt almost a primal connection. My great-grandparents, like many people in that time, the early 1900s, they were out in the woods a lot, hunting, you know, fishing, etc. And so I could just suddenly strongly envision them out, maybe even where I was on the trail, you know, a little south of Phillips. And it was a very moving experience and yeah. Very unexpected.
Mike in Oconomowoc has a question for us, so let's go there. Mike, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling on behalf of my wife, who's actually doing some hiking up near Devil's Lake with my daughter today, but she recently retired from teaching and was hoping to do some Ice Age hiking this fall, early this fall, and she actually just got your book from some teacher friends as a retirement gift who knew she had this plan. And I thought I'd catch you on the phone here and see if you had any suggestions on how best she could approach that. We've done a lot of hiking around the Waukesha County area, and she's thinking of maybe going further north to do some hiking either by herself or with our dog.
Yeah.
Well, there are just there's a wealth of information available through the Ice Age Trail Alliance. They have a really lovely set of maps and a guidebook. And in fact, it's a new guidebook that just came out. They update it every 3 years. And that'll give her a wonderful way to start planning, because it shows where all the trail segments are, where the places are you need to go on connecting roads, where there's parking, water. It'll tell you what you're going to see, et cetera. So that's a great place to start. And fall is, pretty much everyone will tell you that is the best time to hike the Ice Age Trail. She should have a wonderful experience.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Thank
sure.
you. Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You did mention through hiking. Maybe explain what it means to be a through hiker versus a sectional hiker.
you're through hiking a trail, a long-distance trail, you generally start at one of the of its endpoints. There's the Ice Age Trail has a western terminus in St. Croix Falls and an eastern terminus in Sturgeon Bay at Pottawatomie State Park. And you pick one end to start at. It doesn't matter which one, and you keep hiking until you're finished. You can certainly take a day off or two if you are tired or if you have a wedding to attend to or something like that and come back. But the idea is that you're hiking in one continuous attempt. Section hiking is what, as the name implies, you're hiking the trail in sections. You do not have to go in sequential order. You can take as long as you want. Many people take years, but it's you can just hike any section you want in any order. The Ice Age Trail Alliance also has a wonderful map where you can record. It shows all the different sections. It's nice to hang on the wall. You can mark off the dates when you hiked where and kind of log your sections that way.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. And, you know, at first, or even when you were doing it there, it wasn't quite as well marked as it even is today.
Right. Everything continually improves. And I wouldn't even say it wasn't so much that it wasn't well marked when I hiked it, but a lot of times I hiked at the end of summer and the start of fall when there's a lot of summer growth.
Yeah.
And the trail is maintained by volunteers, and it's not always possible, clearly, to have every inch of the trail perfectly clipped at all times. So there were times where the trail was marked, but vegetation had grown over it, and I didn't see it. And there were some places where marks were faded and things like that. But as the trail has gotten better known, as there are more volunteers, and we can always use more, the marking, it just continues to improve every year.
Well, we're going to continue our discussion and talk with Melanie Radzicki McManus about her book, Thousand Miler. Take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we will be back with Melanie. Stay with us. Well, walking 1,100 miles in 36 days is not really an easy feat as far as I'm concerned. Today we're talking to a woman who made it happen twice. Larry Mueller here talking about the Ice Age Trail with our guest, Melanie Radzicki McManus. She's the author of the book, Thousand Miler, Adventures Hiking the Ice Age Trail. And talk a little bit about her journey across Wisconsin, the people she met, the wildlife she encountered, and the things she learned on the state's National Scenic Trail. You may have had some experiences with the trail. I hope you'll join in the conversation with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post questions or photos on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And Melanie, you know, you had some problems, health problems or leg problems, I guess, foot problems along the way. But as I read through the book, I got such an appreciation for the trail. And it really, your book really made me want to get out there and hike at least pieces of that trail.
You know, the one thing I did want to mention is that the great thing about the Ice Age Trail is it truly has something for everyone. It shouldn't be thought of as, oh, it's this rugged thing that you have to be in phenomenal shape to be able to hike. It goes through a lot of rugged areas, but it also has a lot of very easy sections. And it goes through cities and towns, if that's where the Terminal Moraine lay, which is a little different idea than some of the other National Scenic Trails, which try to pull you away from towns. So, for example, there's a lovely stretch through Janesville that's almost all on paved recreational trail. It's a very pretty area. It also goes through their arboretum. So somebody who might not want to have a kind of a full-on hardcore backwoods experience, that's a wonderful section to try. And so there's such a variety. I really think people of pretty much any ability can find some areas that make a lovely hike.
And you got some great advice from different people along the way. And I know you were disappointed a couple times. I think there was one chance where you were going to have a pizza at a particular place and a beer at another place, although you did manage to have one there.
Yes, there's a lot. If you go to the Ice Age Trail Alliance has an annual conference, and they have a hiker panel there every year, and it's comprised of the people who finished a through or section hike that year. And it's great for newbies. I went to one before I started my hike, and they tell you, give you a lot of good advice and fun things to note. And one was, yes, that there was a place on the Mondo Esker segment up north where a man had a concession stand and made wonderful pizza. And I was so excited to have pizza there, but I went through on a Sunday morning before he opened up. And it was my birthday, no less. So I'm like, oh, and according to my initial schedule, I should have been there at the end of the day, but because I had gotten off schedule, so I thought, oh, I missed this pizza. And then there was another place in Basco, which is in Dane County here, where there's a little tavern in a basement tavern, Dots Tavern. And everyone said, oh, you have to stop in there for a beer. But when I got there, it was not open yet either. So, but those are lovely places you can go back to as well.
Helen in West Salem up next. Helen, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. I just wondered if she is aware that there was a boy from West Salem named Chase Jones who hiked the trail with his dad. And because his dad is a teacher, he would have the same days off as Chase, and they would hike during vacations and so forth. So it wasn't continuously hiking. It was when they could do it. And he was like 10 when he started, and he finished last year in June in time for Father's Day. So I just didn't know if she knew that. It's been kind of exciting because we've followed him, a kid doing this with his dad.
How old is he now?
Well, at the most, 12. So he's not old yet.
So it took him a couple of years, but they got it done.
They got it done, right. And actually, I had a chance to meet Chase and his father and I think a younger sibling and mother. They were at the Ice Age Trail Alliance conference this year. And that is, it's an amazing thing and a wonderful thing. And it's actually becoming more and more common on some of these other trails is to have some of these young kids hiking them. You know, they ask the parents, and the parents are supportive, and it's just a wonderful thing. Well, it was great following him and hearing his stories.
Oh, thank you very much for calling, Helen. Appreciate it. I want to give David and Osseo a chance to join us as well. David, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking my call. We are new to Wisconsin, and I just wonder if your guest could just kind of trace the trail a little more, especially around Dane County where we live. I know where St. Croix Falls is, so I know the beginning, but I'm not sure about where in south or southwest Wisconsin we could pick up the trail. If she would be kind enough to trace maybe five or six highlights down south where we could pick up the trail.
Sure. The trail, I'll just give a quick overview of the whole thing. So it starts, well, it doesn't really start, but on the west end in St. Croix Falls, it kind of goes, rolls across the northern part of the state to Antigo, and then it takes kind of a sharp drop down to Janesville, and then it kind of scoops back up north through Kettle Moraine along the lake shore and ends in Sturgeon Bay, or the eastern terminus is in Sturgeon Bay. And in Dane County, we have, I think it's roughly 60-some miles of trail. There's a wonderful section in Cross Plains, which is very close, in the city, and then another segment just outside called Table Bluff. There's some at Indian Lake State Park and a newer segment that's just a little north of there. And then, just south of Cross Plains, it kind of hits part of Middleton and Verona. It goes through the University Ridge, golf course and, through the Brooklyn Wildlife Area. I'm not sure if that's still Dane County. I think it is. But there's quite a few miles of trail there. And again, if you go online on the Ice Age Trail Alliance's website and or purchase their maps and things, it'll show you exactly where the trail goes. And we have a lot of access in Dane County, which is wonderful for us.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for calling. You know, you walked it alone, but you also had some help from people, Cruz, including your husband, but you met and crewed with a lot of different people over those 36 days that you write about in your book. Maybe talk about some of those folks a little bit.
Sure. A lot of people, when they're trying to set a record, they will have one or two people with them who crew them consistently. And I didn't have that. I had, well, my husband was with me quite a bit, maybe 10 of the 30-some days. But I also had a lot of friends and family members who were just eager to be a part of the journey and see what the trail was like themselves. So that when you have a crew member help you, it's called a supported hike versus an unsupported hike. So somebody would meet me at whatever home I was staying at or hotel or inn that night. They'd drive me to the start of where I had left the last day. And then we would arrange by looking at the maps, like, okay, the road next crosses a trail here, so be there. And then if I need more water or snacks or to change my shoes, I can do that. And every time we'd meet them, we'd just agree on the next spot to meet. And then at the end of the day, they would take me off the trail and bring me to wherever I was staying for the night. So it worked pretty well, although there were always little, every day there's little snafus. Maybe your cell service isn't working properly, so you miss somebody or they can't find the spot where the trail picks up. So you have to always be ready for the unexpected.
Yeah, and you heard and saw some pretty neat things during the trip. I know one was an elk's bugle. Talk about some of the things you learned about Wisconsin wildlife.
Oh, there are so many things. Yes, cranes. I had no idea we had so many sandhill cranes, and they were pretty much everywhere. I think I heard or saw them every single day, so that was quite impressive. And one part of my hike, they were in a pre-staging area, so there were so many gathered, probably hundreds in one spot, which was really impressive. And yes, elk, who's going to think of elk bugling or elk being in Wisconsin? And they were, somebody had an elk farm in kind of the Manitowoc County area, and it was a very cool experience because the day I was there, it was a very foggy day, gray day, and I don't know if you've ever heard elk bugling, yeah. But it sounded like what I imagined a prehistoric woolly mammoth sound makes, and the woolly mammoth is the logo for the Ice Age Trail. So to hear that kind of haunting wail on the, you know, misty, foggy morning air was pretty cool.
It had to have been. And one of the things I like about your book is that you talk about some of the other people that are a part of the or have been a part of the Ice Age Trail in one way or another, either as hikers or as people who started it, and also the kind of the history. You give us a real feel for what the Ice Age Trail is like. And there was one guy, was it Papa Bear? I can't remember the guy's name now off the top of my head. You were looking for, you thought you'd run into, and have a quite a nice little piece on him and another guy that he had been hiking with.
Yes, it was wonderful. I didn't meet that many people that were through hiking the trail, but the people I met all had very interesting stories as to what made them decide to thru-hike and the methods of thru-hiking. Because I don't think anyone that I ran into on the trail had people crewing them. Some people were camping, some had a biking system where they would drive and lock a bike to the end point for the day, then drive back and start hiking, reach their bike, and then they'd have to bike all the way back. So that could that would make for a long, tiring day. Another fellow walked halfway in on a segment, then hiked back out, drove his car to the other end, then hiked back into the middle again and hiked out. So he would effectively hike each segment twice. So it was just very interesting to see, you know, how people were hiking it and what their motivations were.
Yeah. Talk about some of those motivations.
One young man was at a point in his life where he just did not know what he wanted to do. He had been working a lot of odd lot jobs. He had left one job to come to Wisconsin and help a cousin sell a home. And he just felt like he had to do something big. And he was actually going to walk across America. And then started researching that and thought, no, my gosh, that would take me years, and I'm in no shape to do that. And a cousin said, well, hike the Ice Age Trail. And he said, well, that's like Devil's Lake. That's like 10 miles. And the cousin said, no, it's like 11 or 1,200 miles. And he said, like me, what? Started looking at the Ice Age Trail and decided he was going to do it on a whim. He put his hike together in like a month or something ridiculously short and had the time of his life, and it did spur some life changes. He ended up moving out to California, and the last I was in touch with him, I believe he was going into the medical field. So, yeah, there are some very interesting reasons people choose to hike.
Yeah, it really. And you had challenges, health challenges. Talk a little bit about some of the challenges of hiking the trail during the summertime.
Well, there's a lot of growth, as I mentioned, on the trail. And in some segments, it's easy to trip, which I did. And I just so happened to fall where my knee hit squarely on a rock. So I had some trouble that way and was trying to find a chiropractor who could either give a laser treatment. I've had success with those in the past or kind of cricket back into place. And eventually that did happen. And there's always blisters, even if you have the best shoes and you're very careful with your feet when you're going that many miles, you're almost inevitably going to get some blisters. So you had to care with that. And I developed something called cellulitis, which is a skin infection, which I did not know anything about it before. But that's something that more hikers than you would think have developed it. And it is pretty serious. You have to take it seriously. So I did have to get some medical treatment for that.
And you were trying to finish in, to break the record. And I'm sure people are wondering, how many miles did you have to go every day?
Oh, I was averaging somewhere between 30 and 35 miles a day. And actually, I think I know how difficult that was to do, but I was an older person. And the people out there now who are setting these records on National Scenic Trails, they're usually much younger, but they can generally knock off about 50 miles a day. So whether it's the Pacific Crest Trail, which is about twice as long, it's over just about 2,400 miles, I think, or the Appalachian Trail, that's about 2,100 miles. These people are incredibly talented, and they can manage that many miles a day. I can't even fathom that because I was exhausted just doing my 30 to 35.
But that's 30 to 35 miles is no small feat. Either.
No, I mean, you're pretty much constantly moving. I mean, there is no there's no lunch hour. I would come in and kind of grab food on the go, and I think the longest I would stop to eat something, which was my lunch time, it might have been 10 minutes. you're pretty much constantly moving, but the human body is an amazing thing. If you have, it's mostly a mindset. If you just tell yourself, I'm going to keep going, you can keep going.
Jim in Middleton emailed in to say, don't overlook an east to west hike on the Valley View segment of the trail. Beautiful prairies, and there's a view of Blue Mounds on the horizon.
Yes, Valley View is a beautiful, beautiful segment. And I would also note that the segments look different at different times of the year. The first time I did the trail, there was a section near Elkhart Lake that I thought, oh, this is kind of ugly. And, why did they even have us go through here? Well, I hiked it 2 years later, just, I think, 2 or 3 weeks earlier in the season, and it was gorgeous. Everything was blooming. It was kind of a prairie landscape, and so try some of the trails, too, at different times of the year. You might be surprised, and some of them you can snowshoe on, some you can even cross-country ski on, so it's far from just being a one-time, one-season thing you can do.
Yeah, we should expand a little bit. 2 years after your west to east trip, you turned around and went from east to west. You talk about that briefly at sort of the end of your book. How was the trail different for you the second time around?
Well, you see, it's amazing. On some of the glacial formations, they appear different depending on the direction you're going. Some are much more easily seen going a different direction. So that was very interesting, and as I just said, I went at essentially the same time but of year, which was September, but the first part of the trail, I was at the opposite end, and so a lot of the trails can look prettier or not as pretty depending on which time you're hitting them. So that was interesting, too. And they're always building more trail because, as I said, it still has about one-third to go. So there, just in 2 years, there were some new trail segments I got to hike on, and there have been more since my last hike in 2015. So I'm anxious to explore the new segments as well.
Yeah. You were talking about, I think right at the end, you were thinking about even this year possibly doing something.
I really wanted to do what they call a flip-flop hike, which is you start in the center and go to one terminus, and then you drive back to the center again and hike to the next terminus. But I know. Then I could say I've hiked the trail every way, east to west, west to east, and flip-flop. But then I decided to write this book, and I'm too busy talking about the book.
Oh, man. Do you have... You had a bit of a fear of bears when you started. That dwindled over time, I think.
You know, I think it did because the more you're out there, the more you get accustomed to it, the less you have to fear. I remember, too, I never had knew much about grouse. And the first couple days in the trail, if you know much about them and have ever hiked, when they are startled by you, they just rise up in these groups of three or four, and it makes this very loud noise. And I was always jumping at that and a few other things. Well, by the time one of my friends came to crew me, I had been on the trail of just about 10 days, and I felt like I was born in the woods. Nothing startled me. I knew every sound, and he was the one when the grouse would jump up or something, and, you know, he was always like, ah, ah, and I'm like, it's just grouse. Now settle down. And I said, you grew up on a farm. You shouldn't be so startled by animals. And he said, well, when on the farm, we always knew what animals we had and exactly where they were.
Oh, man. Well, give us some pointers for people looking to get out on the Ice Age Trail. Do you have some pointers in terms of anything relating to what to wear? Or I know you talk about that a bit. You talked about one guy who was out there in cotton jeans, which was probably the worst thing to be wearing, as an example.
Right. You definitely want to have some good wicking clothing that pulls the sweat off you. A lot of people think they need to run out and buy hiking boots. That's not necessarily true. I hiked the vast majority of both hikes in running shoes, and even people who hike mountainous trails like the Pacific Crest or Appalachian, a lot of them are moving more to whatever shoe feels comfortable on you. I also brought a bunch along so I could change shoes every day, or at least not wear the same pair 2 days in a row, so that kind of prevents hot spots from forming. You don't have the shoe pressing on your foot in exactly the same way. And I would say make sure you have plenty of water, real food. I had a lot of energy bar type snacks because I thought, well, I'm doing a lot of running. I don't want to have any big meals sitting in my stomach. But the second time I hiked, I did have more. At lunchtime, whoever was with me would grab a sandwich or something, and having some real food interspersed with the energy bars, for me anyway, was helpful. And trekking poles, I think, are one other big thing I would advise. They're useful for so many reasons. Whether you have bad knees or not, they take a lot of pressure off. They're good for steadying you if you have to walk across, a creek on rocks, or if you want to see how deep a creek is that you might have to cross. And they also keep your hands and fingers from swelling. If your hands are down all the time, they can get very painfully swollen, whereas when you have the trekking poles, they're upright and you don't have that problem at all. So those would probably be my top recommendations.
Rita Ann Edgerton, I don't have time to have her on, but has read your book and really enjoyed it and the journey. And I really enjoyed it as well, Melanie, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was a really fun read, and it inspired Lexi Broad, our producer, said after she read it, she thought, I got to get out and I got to walk that trail. So thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Larry.
Melanie Radzicki McManus is the author of the book Thousand Miler, Adventures Hiking the Ice Age Trail. Fun, fascinating book, and I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. Well, tomorrow at this time, we'll find out what Wisconsin's historic museums and parks have going this summer. So stay with us for that. And thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.